Happy Thanksgiving, everybody, and welcome back to Hoops HD. It is Thanksgiving. We're doing a little early morning podcast here because none of us, we were all too drunk last night, I think, to actually
I
do our
got
Under the
locked
Radar
up.
show.
There's no cameras where I'm at. I got locked up.
But
I
we
need
did
bail
get
money.
it. We got an audio feed. We snuck a cell phone into his jail cell. So David Griggs is joining me. I'm Chad Sherwood. This is our Under the Radar show, where we are going to be going over all the under the radar conferences. That means not the major conferences. So not the Power Four conferences. No Big Ten. No Big 12. No SEC. No ACC. No Big East. What else? What are the leagues
I
that we
lost
do?
count of the number of top 25 matchups that there have been in the last 72 hours, but it doesn't matter. We're not talking about any of them
If
tonight.
you want to hear about UConn finishing dead last
Deadlift.
at the Maui, not being able to even win one game at Maui when they've gone 12-0 in the last two NCAA tournaments, you're not going to hear that here. Not our discussion. We talk about, we also don't talk about the A-10, the West Coast, the Mountain West, or the American. We consider those, we do those on our Hoops HD report as well.
It
But
will be a
this.
busy Hoops HD report Monday. I should be out of jail by then. But tonight or this morning, I guess. And it's important to reflect. It is Thanksgiving morning. Happy Thanksgiving to everyone out there. And it is important to reflect on like what makes the day special. And what makes the day special is college basketball. Why the hell do you think the Pilgrims wanted to come here? They didn't have college basketball where they were coming from.
Let's get right into it. I'd like to start with a feature conference, then we'll do the rest of them in alphabetical order. If I could pull up the screen share here, if it works on Thanksgiving Day. Oh, it does. I thought, Griggs, that we'd start the show today in Conference USA because it's been actually really good last week and season so far for multiple teams in this league.
Yeah, two in particular, three in
Three in
particular.
particular, I think.
Louisiana off to the 7-0 start, and if you pull them up, it isn't just non-D1 opponents. They played a couple of those, but I mean, the neutral win against Eastern Kentucky, Richmond, who is hard to play against, albeit beatable this year. They got Southern Illinois. A lot of those wins coming away from home. I know they're down in Tier 4 now, but the rankings are still really erratic. The official net isn't even out yet. I think that those are going to kind of rise up the team sheet as we go through. But then the other team you got on the right side there is how about Liberty? And is Liberty not just a good under the radar team, Chad? Are they a fringe bubble team? Can they get inside the bubble? The win versus Kansas State, they went to Charleston and won. If you follow under the radar, you know how hard it is to win at Charleston. That might be their only home loss of the year. I would imagine they're going to get a lot of credit for that. And they beat McNeese, another team that's probably going to end up with 25, 26 wins. That's a good profile.
It is. I mean, well, I guess one problem is, where does anything else of note come in the rest of the schedule? So they have to dominate this league.
Yeah,
If
they
you
do.
look what's ahead, they got two non-D1 games: Mississippi Valley, North Carolina A&T, and Texas Arlington to finish their non-conference schedule. Griggs, I mean, yes, they did what they had to do non-conference. Only the overtime loss to FAU, beating McNeese, winning that event there. Whatever event that, which event, I don't know, all these events kind of run into each other in my mind at this point of the season.
It's okay that you don't remember because it's not on the team sheet, which
It
means
was a
it's not up to
it was the Paradise Jam, by
Yeah, it was a
the
Paradise Jam, but it doesn't matter. It was Mace. That's what matters.
Not just these two teams, Griggs. Let's also talk about Kennesaw State with that win over a Rutgers team that just took, Alabama to the wire last night out in Las Vegas. So, and this team has a few chances ahead, including our good friend Rocco Miller on the call of the game on the games on ESPN Plus at the Western Slam this week with Irvine Towson and Kent State.
Rocco is spending his Thanksgiving doing exactly what he wants to do. He's on television calling UC Irvine versus Kennesaw. I mean, I can't draw up a better day for him.
You're not joking. It's actually serious. I think that's exactly what he wants me doing. I'm a
We
little
were hoping
jealous.
to
I think
have him on
that's great.
today, but
Yeah, I think he's either asleep or prepping out for us. If he jumps on, he jumps on. We'll see what happens there. Go ahead.
Kennesaw, but this is If they are going to make a run at the bubble and try to establish themselves, this event is hugely important. I know they have the win against Rutgers, and I'm not trying to ignore that. I guess I'm still not completely sold on a Kennesaw team that basically started completely over with the roster overhaul. But yeah, I mean, UC Irvine, Towson, Kent, then they go to Georgia State, is pretty good. Santa Clara, really good. San Jose State, that's a wash. They don't have a chance in that one. So as long as they don't cheat. But
I think they have a very good chance that San Jose State game. That's probably the most winnable of all those three road games. But again, but there's going to be a lot of big conference games this season now
There are.
with these three teams, assuming they're all there. And we kind of like both Middle Tennessee and UTEP heading to the season as well. So this could be a fascinating Conference USA season going
Yeah, it
ahead.
really could be. And then Western Kentucky is again super talented and somewhat underperforming so far, but still dangerous.
Here's the upcoming schedule for this week. We mentioned Kennesaw's games coming up. Liberty, not much in terms of games. Quick Louisiana Tech hosting something, a road trip to Memphis. They might be out of their league, but you never know with Memphis. So I wouldn't completely write
You
that game
don't.
off.
A really good showing out in Maui for Memphis, but if La Tech goes there and gets that one, you're talking about, okay, this, you got to start thinking of them as a top 40 team.
Absolutely. All right, let's jump back to the rest of the leagues here. Start things off in the America East, where I don't know that there's too much we can circle. Vermont did pick up the win over Delaware and a huge win over Plattsburgh State last night. Actually, though, that game was close at the half, so that's not a good sign for Vermont so far this year. I've been very disappointed the
No.
way this team has been playing.
Yeah, I kind of am too. I agree with the sentiment that once they get in the conference play, they're going to kick it in the gear, but they haven't done anything to establish themselves out of conference, which means one of their conference wins better be that last win. UMass Lowell making a little bit of noise. I see that you highlighted them there, almost getting the upset win over a St. Louis
Almost
team.
getting an upset win. This was an amazing finish. I've never seen a shot like this go in my life. He was turning around, falling down, out of bounds from three at the buzzer to tie the game off the board. It goes in 2/10 of a second too late, though. We would have been going overtime. If you ever looked at Twitter to see it, go take a look.
I kind of was just following it on my phone, and I didn't realize it took me a second to realize that they had waved it off, because I just didn't have a clear view of it. But what I mean, St. Louis perhaps a little disappointing so far this year. We'll get into that on Monday, but a really good showing there by Lowell. And I think that when you look at them in Vermont, just with the eye test, I think Lowell's looked every bit as good as Vermont has so far.
I think I agree with you. I think Lowell's looked better than Vermont has so far, honestly. I think that this may be the team to beat in this conference this year from what everything I've seen so far. But as we say, there's a lot of time to go. We haven't played a single conference game yet, and we're not going to be playing any for a little while still. Lowell this week with a trip to Central Connecticut. It is a true road game against a team that is favored to win his conference and already has a big scalp. Didn't they beat win at St. Joe's earlier,
They
the Blue
did.
Devils? So that could be an interesting game here coming up on Sunday. As far as Vermont's games go, they're hosting Brown there, I guess, on Tuesday. That's the only other game that I'm really. Oh, Northeastern on Saturday, also. Okay. But anyhow, Griggs, how about the A-Sun Conference?
And the former home of Kennesaw State, but
We're not talking about. I was just going to start with the A-Sun because I was thinking about Kennesaw, but that's a little backwards.
I'm glad I'm not the only one that made that mistake. No one, not to be disparaging, I mean, we see North Florida there with the really impressive strength of record, and they did have those wins early on. I want to say it was at Georgia Tech, and I'm already forgetting the other one, Georgia Tech. And,
We'll pull it up real quick here. That it was this South Carolina one.
South Carolina. So again, no one in the league has done anything like to match that. They do have Edwardsville is a winnable road game for them, I think. Edwardsville, perhaps the best team so far out of the OVC. So that would be no small, like they go on the road and get that one, which I think they're good enough to do. I think that that will establish them again as perhaps the best overall team in the A-Sun.
I'll tell you, I mean, not that I think that they can win these games, but they've got game at Nebraska, a game at Florida. You suddenly put if you get one of those two,
Oh, if you.
you've put three name brands in your win column. Still a long way to go. And you already have one tier four loss, although Asheville I think is going to be better than tier four at the end of the day. But
Yeah.
I don't know that there's bubble consideration, but I think that sends a message to the league at least that this team is the
It
team to
does,
beat in the
and that's a
conference.
hell of a year for a program that didn't have the highest expectations coming in. Eastern Kentucky continues to plug along. I think that they can be dangerous. Don't forget about Lipscomb. While they haven't shown out yet, I think those are two teams that can do very well once conference play starts.
Yeah, Lipscomb only one game this past week. They beat Jackson State. As far as
Yeah.
upcoming games, they are at Chattanooga, an interesting game on Tuesday. That's one of the more interesting games this week as
Yes, it
well.
kind of is. And then they got SEMO, it looks like, next week.
Next week. And look at this game Saturday here, right? Austin Peay at East Tennessee State. Another team that we're keeping half an
Yeah.
eye on in this conference, this Austin Peay team.
Off to P. I got off to a really good start at that win at Butler, but it's kind of rescinded since then.
Also, don't forget about Jacksonville here. I don't even know what they lost a game to Mercer. They split with Mercer and Siena this week, but they already have that win at Vo-Tech and a game at Georgia coming up in the next week here as well. So the win at Vo-Tech, I didn't expect anything out of this Jacksonville team, but I'm also another team that I'm kind of looking at this year
Yeah,
as we go forward.
I expect nothing out of Vo-Tech, just but
How about the Big Sky Conference where well, I guess Griggs, Northern Colorado has been the story so far. I don't know what they did
they're
this.
the
They
team that I'm
only beat
containing.
Prairie View and Northern New Mexico this week. Didn't do anything, to move the needle at all,
Yeah,
though.
they didn't. They're still the team that I'm banging the drum for, and I'm not writing anyone off, particularly not Montana or Montana State or the teams that are typically pretty good. But Northern Colorado, I said that I expected them to beat Colorado earlier in the year, which they almost did. And now I'm thinking that Colorado is better than we thought. So is Northern Colorado also better than we thought? Because they were really competitive in that game. They've only lost one other game. And Colorado might get some votes
At
this week.
Wazoo, that was at Washington
Yeah,
State.
at Wazoo. And, they weren't particularly competitive against Wazoo, but they had Colorado beat. And when you start to look at the rest of their schedule, yeah, I think they are the best team. They're not going to win at Texas Tech. At least I'd be shocked if they did. But that game against North Dakota State that's coming up, a little bit of a summit. I think they can get
That
that one.
is part of the Summit Big Sky Challenge series, in fact. So I believe it is at least, or it might be the
Yeah, so
St.
they got a
Thomas game
couple
that
front
is
range games.
one of those two games is the Summit Big Sky Challenge game.
Yeah, but I like this Northern Colorado team. And I hate to praise a team based on the two games that it lost, but I thought they were really impressive in both of them.
I give that to you here. As far as anybody else in this league. I mean, Sacramento State picked up a win yesterday at Air Force.
Yeah.
I don't, I know that's a Mountain West team, so it's a win against a conference that's not even on the road. It's not even in the under the radar show, but it's also Air Force, so I don't know that.
Yeah. Who's not a very good front range team. I think Northern Colorado will also be Air Force later on next week.
Yeah, I agree with you here. So I'm not certain that I'm ready to start singing Sacramento State's praises quite yet. We'll
Yeah.
see. They get Mercyhurst this week, and then they have a road trip to Denver for Sac
Yes.
State.
Mercyhurst transitioning up to D1. So
Anyhow, over in the Big South, is that where we're up to? Yeah, I think we are. Yes, we
yeah.
are. Big South Conference, and how about a team that we can sing the praises of? And that's this High Point team, Griggs. I
Yes.
know they did not win their event. They had the loss to Missouri State. They did bounce back in the, I think it was the fifth place game or the third place game. Won two out
Pretty
of
good
three in
for
their
them.
event, though.
Yeah. And again, off to a really good start. The win at UAB, I think that's going to rise up the quadrants and get up to at least two, at least three, probably maybe even two, even though it was at home. But they've looked solid so far. They're about to be tested, I think, when they the game at UNC Greensboro,
I
which
thought
is
you meant the Pfeiffer game.
not the Pfeiffer game. They're not.
Okay.
They shouldn't even be playing games like that. You've heard me limit that before. But coming up, the next two, if they win both of those, you're looking at the 13 line, 12 line, somewhere around there. Because, like, to win at Greensboro is They're not that Greensboro is typically good at home, and then North Texas, they get them at home. That's just a great under the radar game.
That really is. It's still December 6th, I guess. So,
Yeah.
about a, we'll talk about that game next week, in fact, when we're
Yeah,
doing
we'll
the
be talking
previews.
about
But
it more next week. But the other team, what about, I know that it was put together against the pastry cart, but how long would getting off to their best start in the league?
Longwood is out to a 6-2 start. They did lose the K-State and McNeese games and lost them both
Yeah.
by double digits. I mean, the UAB win is nice, but UAB's really underperformed so far this season.
They are.
I'm
Yeah.
just I'm not ready there. And if you look at their next half dozen games, it's all a bunch of games that they should win. Maybe, let's see what happens December 29th at SMU if they can run through these games that they've got, including a home and home with NC Central. They play them twice for some reason here.
Yeah. Again, it's better than playing an additional 1D1, but
Oh, they're playing
you know,
enough of
one of the
those.
stories at the top is,
Randolph, Regent, and Mary Baldwin. I mean, really,
yeah.
really Longwood, really. Anyhow, I guess we could take another look at the rest of the games coming up here this week in the conference. There they are on the screen. I think we mentioned most of the ones that are worth watching already, anyhow, though. So.
Yeah. Radford goes to NC Central. They just won their event, so kind of a boost for them.
Over in the Big West, here's another team that's out in that Western Slam that Rocco is out at, and off to a great start to the season. This UC Irvine team haven't played
Yes.
since last Friday when they won at Weber State, but they've got these three games coming up with Kennesaw, who we already discussed, Kent and Towson, who we both might be discussing in a little bit here, and a great little under the radar event up out there out in Canada.
Yeah, it's not bracketed, it's round robin. I actually kind of like that for the style of this because everybody's going to play everybody, and I think everybody could benefit from it. I do think, with all due respect to Towson and Kent and Kennesaw, that UC Irvine is the alpha team in this. They're good enough to win all three of those. And where does that land? Probably low tier two, upper tier three, March at the end. I really like this UC Irvine team. They go to Oregon State. When you start to think about running at the bubble, they're just going to have to nickel and dime it. They're going to have to bloat out their record.
Road trip, but look, I mean, it's a 5-game road trip. Oregon State, Belmont, Duquesne, California Baptist, and then starting conference play with Cal Poly. All those are dangerous teams. California
They
Baptist is into a
are.
big win yesterday over Fresno. I mean, yeah.
Yeah, if they run through that, or even if they run through and win all but one of those, you got to start eventually looking at just how many games this team will have won away from home, and not just the number of wins, but the number of teams they will have beaten that typically will play well at home. Belmont plays well at home. Oregon State could win a lot of home games. Duquesne was good last year. UC San Diego, like, and then when you get into the Big West, it's hard to win on the road in the Big West. And if they can go out there and do that, you hope the committee is taking that into account.
Yeah, UC Santa Barbara also off to a solid start there. I put them on the right. Only the loss to UTEP so far. UTEP team is slightly underperformed, but might get better as the season goes along. Maybe their problem is I don't really see much in terms of other chances left to do any noise. Interestingly enough, it's by a quirk in the schedule here, I guess. UC Santa Barbara will be starting some conference play next week. UC Irvine will not get any. Oh, they'll get Cal State Bakersfield. They will get one conference game on December 5th. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I think
Other
the
teams
Big
getting
West
two.
adopted the format to where before Christmas break, they wanted a slate of conference games before the students went home, which I can kind of, yeah, that's kind of good if you
Yeah, a
want to
lot
do
of
that.
conferences have adopted that format. We're going to be getting into conference play in a lot of these leagues and a lot of the major conferences as well within the next week or so here. Once we get through these tournaments and the like. Here's the rest of the upcoming schedule. Another game to circle coming up here, Griggs. Tuesday night, Hawaii is at Grand Canyon. Hawaii has played well so far. They're a team that I thought might be able to make some noise this season. This is a huge road test for the Rainbow Warriors.
If they get that one, I'll be a believer. Other than that, I'll just attribute it to them being a home court hero. But yeah, they go out there and win that one.
Again, there it is on next week on Thursday. There's that start of that conference play. Conference action right around the corner here. We already talked a little CUS. Oh, before we get there, alphabetically, we got to go to hit the Coastal first. Coastal Athletic Association and I know you've been very impressed with what this Charleston team has done so far, even though
I have been.
they did lose that Rhode Island game. They bounced back with a Northern Kentucky win, though.
They didn't just lose to Rhode Island. They lost in a way that you just wonder, did they, like, how much did they have to drink before they took the court? It was a real disappointing showing. Nothing against Rhodey, but I was expecting Charleston to compete and maybe even win that one. As impressed as I would have been, Chad, that was not an impressive showing.
That was not an impressive show. No, I'll agree with you there. I still like this Hofstra team. They've only played once in the last week, and they played Houston. So yes, they lost. They almost got doubled up by Houston. But in terms of the level of this league of competition, I think Hofstra is going to be right there at the end of the day.
And Charleston had the benefit of playing some notable competition on their floor. They got to go out and win off of their floor too.
As far as upcoming games, Towson, another team out there in the Western Slam. Well, Rocco gets to see every, seems I think he's going to be watching every single team in D1 this week. Charleston has a huge game on Tuesday night. If anybody can even pronounce that, please tweet at us and let us
Tusculum,
know.
isn't it?
Tusculum, is that it? I have no idea. Big rivalry game coming up Tuesday, also the Delaware State Delaware game. That's actually a pretty nice little rivalry there. And
That one is.
anyhow, let's go over to the Horizon League, where Griggs. I mean, the story. I guess Morris Robert. What do they got? When
Morris,
this was.
there's Morris Robert, the good.
They got the win over Canisius this week for Morris Robert. Oh wait, is it Morris Robert or?
Well, that's what the jersey said.
Yes, folks, take a look at this if you don't believe us. Not only the guy shooting the free throws, the guy off on the side of the screen there also. Both their jerseys apparently say the correct name of the school that we've been mispronouncing for all these years. It is Morris Robert. It is not Robert Morris. And we
I know it's
apologize.
true.
Great revolutionary hero. Since the 1700s, everyone's been getting his name wrong.
Morris Robert. Did they issue an administrative technical in this game, Chad, or did they go back and issue one for all of the previous games they played throughout their entire history for having the name?
The Robert Morris on it, something. Well, the guy off there on the left, number 23, he's got Robert Morris, so he should have gotten teed up for the wrong jersey. Yes. So, folks, in case you want to know, from now on, for the rest of the season at least, it is Morris Robert. But actually, Milwaukee had a pretty nice week this week. Also, I thought though, with their wins over Wofford, St. Thomas, and Portland, and a close game against UCF last night.
I mean, they really competed against what I think is a really good UCF team. I was expecting them to get blown off the floor, but they were right in there.
They were Fort Wayne, I thought, was a little bit disappointing with in their loss to Radford by double digits the other night. That was
In
I
that
thought I, a
game.
little, I thought they had a shot better shot in that game, and I think we still got to give yet another shout out to Detroit Mercy. Already 3 wins on the season, even though they didn't pick up any this week.
They
this team.
didn't, but look, I mean, they were super competitive with a roadie team that blew Charleston off the floor with a white team that's really good. Like, Detroit Mercy can actually, they actually resemble a basketball team this year.
Yeah, we'll see how many wins they can get out of this, but I wouldn't be surprised to see them finish in the middle of the pack of the Horizon
I
Sun
wouldn't
League this
either.
year. Upcoming games this week, Morris is going to be at Ohio and hosting Youngstown, but Milwaukee was a team like that is at Southern Miss with a very interesting game here on Saturday. I think that's a winnable game as well, and then hosting Cleveland State on Thursday.
And again, another conference getting into that, trying to get the students into the conference opener. This was an issue, especially with under the radar conferences. They were opening their conference schedule big opening night to no students in a half empty arena. So that's why you're seeing some of these games in December before going back out of conference.
Yeah, also, I believe, I'm not certain if the Horizon went to a full 20 game schedule or not this year as well. So you got to
Think you
squeeze in a few
did.
extra games as well. So lots of reasons to do these games. And last thing you want to do is do them over Christmas break when
Nobody's there.
nobody's there. Exactly. Over in the Ivy League, the story remains this Columbia team with another perfect week with wins over New Hampshire and Stony Brook, albeit both at home. But yeah, I mean, what a story this Columbia team has been so far.
They are, and
SOR of 12. That means if we bracketed the tournament by SOR right now, they'd be a three seed.
which is kind of remarkable that win at Villanova, I guess, is what's moving them up. Because, like, if you look at their profile, like, they haven't played the strongest schedule. I'm almost kind of confused as to why the SOR is what it is. I mean, they have won some road games.
I think the undefeated, and it is a resume-based metric. Look at even our JNGs in the 30s here. It's a resume-based metric early in the season. There's just not enough qualitative data to really make a resume-based metric like the SOR that's solely based on resume, not even based on any preseason rankings at all, that I think Joby does factor in for his JNG formula. It's hard to make those have any meaning until we get a few more games under our belts.
So it's still pretty scattershot. But what a start for Columbia, regardless of who they're beating. They did get the win against Villanova. I think this game against Albany that's coming up is a really tough challenge. They kind of step out, but are we setting up for a 13-0, 14-0 Columbia team going into Rutgers? And what a storyline that game's going to be.
It is, and I hope my Rutgers team is ready for this Columbia team. I think they will be if this team is undefeated. I mean, if they win this game in Albany, they shouldn't have any problem with their non-D1 games, and I don't think Fairfield is going to be much trouble for them either. So it's all if they can win at Albany this week, they will be going to Rutgers undefeated, I believe.
Yeah, I
And
think so
that's the end of
too.
their non-conference schedule then. And you look at the rest of the league here. Yale had a 1-1 week, beat that Fairfield team, which is disgusting, but then lost the game to Delaware. Princeton with a resounding wins over Portland and Nazareth.
Nazareth. So is Princeton still like this? Princeton was a team that I thought at least would be a top 40 bubble-ish fringe team. Do they still have it in them to right the ship? They got that's a big one at St. Joe's.
That's a good one for them at St. Joe's. And do they have the right? Yeah. Well, they haven't played a conference game yet. And quite frankly, in terms of righting the ship, Griggs, all they got to do, everything, it doesn't matter once you get to conference play, because I don't even think that Columbia is going to. I mean, if Columbia goes undefeated and wins, including a win at Rutgers, maybe we could talk about that for the bubble. But I don't think Columbia is going to be a serious bubble contender here. I think it's a one-bit Ivy League at the end of the day. And so. What do you got to do? You got to get into conference play, make sure you finish in the top four, and win two games in March.
Sounds good.
so, yes, I think Plitz has more than enough time to right the ship here. They'll be playing Rutgers coming up in a few weeks here as well, by the way.
That's a sneaky Princeton
Metro
roster.
Atlantic Conference. I guess, Marist has kind of been the story here at 4-1. They picked up only one win the last week. It was over New Hampshire, but we kind of like this team heading into the season, and they've
Yeah,
proven
we
that so
do.
far.
Yeah, I think so too. At least when compared to the rest of the conference, they've jumped out more than anybody. Quinnipiac was the sexy out of conference pick. It seems like that every year I pick Quinnipiac to do something, they fall off the mountain. And then every year where I come into the preseason, sort of ignoring them, they sprint to the front. Just 2-4 against D1 teams. I still can't help but think that once they do get in the conference play, they're going to do really well. But so far, if you ask me, what's the team that looks the best and that's done the most at Marist?
Yeah, Quinnipiac's defense, all four were road losses. St. John's, St. Louis, Yale, and Lowell. None of them horrible.
The game at Yale, that was opening night, and they didn't just lose. Maybe that I've been soured on them ever since.
Yeah, but what have they done? They won at Navy and they beat Maine at home. I mean, a decent Maine team, but it was a home win and beat whoever the heck WPI is, Worcester Polytechnic, I believe. The next, they're getting. We've got some early conference games coming up, and we've got the game at Stonehill and the game at Central Connecticut coming up. So we'll see. But I'm really looking at this Marist team at this point in the
Yeah,
season.
I
We'll
think
see if
so
that
too.
changes. As far as Marist this week, let me highlight their games. They are a have a trip to Lehigh on Saturday. That'll be their only game in the
Yeah,
next week
they
here.
should win that one.
Mid-American Conference. And
Yeah, it's the wagon wheel teams are doing pretty well. Ohio, I still the team that I was big on coming into the year, continues to sort of underperform, although they did beat Portland. What about Akron? Like they
I was gonna say, what?
not Akron, I'm sorry, Kent State. Oh my
I was gonna say,
God,
what
I'm
about
stuck on
Kent
the
State?
cat.
Because Kent State won the game at Cleveland State. They won at Louisiana. Now Louisiana has been shorthanded all season, and was
Yeah.
not. It's gonna end up not being the team we thought they'd be preseason. The only loss was at Auburn, and Auburn beats everybody. And Auburn is probably the best team in the nation. So
I
here's.
think they are. Wow, is Auburn good? We'll talk about them on Monday. But in Kent State was reasonably competitive. I know the final score was 23, but for about 25 minutes, they were competing. It was worth watching.
I gotta
Never.
say though, again, shout out to Rocco again, because Kent State is the fourth team up there in this event up in Canada that he's on the call for, and Ed helped organize the event. And Kent State in there, and these next three games, getting UC Irvine tomorrow, getting Kennesaw State on Saturday. This is a chance for Kent. I think you said UC Irvine early. UC Irvine is the clear favorite. It would not shock me to see Kent State be the team that goes 3-0 in this event, though.
It wouldn't shock me, and if they did, they'll certainly have my attention the way Irvine does now. But that is just a great game tomorrow, that Irvine Kent State game, especially if the chalk holds today and they both win today.
Yeah, Irvine has that big game with Kennesaw today. Kent has Towson coming up tonight. As far as the rest of the league, I guess there's not much else that we really need to circle from this past week, but moving forward to coming up the next week here, we've mentioned a few of the games for Kent. I don't know, Northern Kentucky at Akron, or I don't, there's a
Northern
couple
Kentucky
decent
having a
looking
rough
games.
year. Western
West.
Michigan going to Dayton. In case you missed it, Dayton is damn good.
And also, in case you missed it, go back to our preseason. If you're not from the state of Ohio and you're in the MAC, just forget about it this year. So we're talking, Eastern Michigan. I get it; they're number two on that screen right now. We'll see where they end up on that screen as we move into the further into the season here. Let's jump to what are we up to? The MEAC, Griggs. I know you got some big takes on this conference.
Oh, huge takes. Norfolk State, I think, is the best team. They've kind of shown it so far. They're the ones that have pieced together the biggest wins. And man, it's going to be an exciting race with a couple centenary candidates in there.
Norfolk State actually did pick up a road win at UC Davis this past week, so that's it's something you don't really see often from this conference. Not as D1 road wins, especially when you got to travel cross country for them.
I would never poke fun at this if it were a non-D1, but even if you're a D1 as bad as UMass or Maryland Eastern Shore, they had a little trouble with Arkansas on Monday.
They did. They did not look very good at that game. They also got blown up by Little Rock. I thought actually, though, real shout out though to South Carolina State. They went to an event that Alabama A&M was hosting and beat both Alabama A&M and IU Indy in that event. Got picked up a pair of wins there. So,
Yeah, good job for them. Their first two of the year. So,
As far as Norfolk State, the only team we're really circling so far this next week, they are at Stony Brook on Sunday. If you're going to be watching some. And of course, we've got the Delaware State Delaware game also that we mentioned earlier. Those are probably the two games to circle involving this conference. You can circle Delaware State at Texas or South Carolina State at Xavier, but unless you're a fan of Texas or Xavier, you're probably not watching those games. And if you are watching those games, that's big trouble for those two teams. That's all
Yeah,
I gotta
or
say.
watching these games, you're beyond help. Okay, here we go.
Go
Wow.
ahead.
So when you talk about bubble crashers, when you talk about getting inside the bubble, I think Drake has outperformed some of the teams that are currently in the top 25. Now, the big asterisk to that is not everybody in the top 25 has tested themselves. Bradley also very good, but oh my God, look at this. Look at that. Just Vanderbilt, who you didn't think would be good, but I believe that's Vandy's only loss. Miami, Florida Atlantic, all away from home. This is a team that's just really done well. I think their next three games they should win. And then if they go to K-State and get that one,
And I don't think this is a very good
this
K-State.
team is
This
going to start to get close.
is not a very good K-State team this year. I mean, they're still a Big 12 team, but I think this is winnable. I think any losses that we see from this Drake team at the moment are going to be an upset loss the rest of the season.
Look
Yeah,
at the rest
what
of the
is so
schedule here.
incredible about this? It isn't that they're having a 6-0 year and they're performing the way they are. It's that their roster and coaching staff were completely overhauled, and they didn't even get D1 transfers in most cases. They were lower division players that came in, and nobody, and I don't even think Drake fans were expecting this. I sure as hell wasn't. I mean, we talk about Columbia, a great story. Is Drake the biggest surprise in all of college basketball this year, considering they don't even have guys that were playing D1 a year ago?
I would say the biggest surprise in all of college basketball under the radar absolutely is Drake. Number two, I'd say UConn 8th place again.
Okay, yeah, that's fair.
But Bradley also off to a very nice start this season. Yeah, only the loss at Washington State. They've looked the second best, I think, after Drake in this conference so far.
But wow, I'm on the Drake bandwagon, and in last year's Drake team had a nice win against Gonzaga, I think.
One other team I th want to throw out there, Belmont. I know they did lose a game to Loyola Marymount the other day, and they lost a game to a very good Furman team. I just, I think there might be something here. They look really
Oh,
good
I
in the
think
win over
so.
Tulane. They won that game at Lipscomb, which was a great game, in the Battle of the Boulevard there. Keep an eye on this Belmont team this year.
Yeah, I think once they get in the conference play, they're going to be a factor. I think Murray might be. I can't really point to anything other than a feeling that they're going to be good. And Northern Iowa, a team that I'm always big on, is not good.
Murray lost the past week at home to Utah Valley. I'm not really with you on Murray State, but I could be wrong. We'll see. But I think Northern Iowa could bounce back, but I just think Northern Iowa has been disappointing for multiple years in a row this
Yes.
so far. It's hard for me to pick in their favor until they really prove out. They are going to be playing North Texas, then either Utah State or St. Bonaventure, by the way, in their event that starts
Probably lose
today.
both of them. Yeah.
As far as Drake goes this week, their games are hosting Georgia Southern and at Valpo, and some more early conference play here. Northeast Conference. With all that red on the screen for teams that are ineligible for postseason play, and all the red on the right there for all the losses. The best week this week went to Long Island, who went for a bit of a road win at Charlotte, I guess. But it's a you know it's It's non-conference play in the Northeast Conference, Craig. It's not like it's.
Rick, we love this conference once it gets in. I can't wait for Chicago State to finally win a conference game.
Been years since they've done one.
In years and years and years. Central Connecticut, I still think, is the strongest team. The win against was at Providence is carrying more water
They
than
play well against Providence. They beat St. Joe's.
they beat St. Joe's. Okay, yeah, they play barely beat Providence and then beat St. Joe's. So, I think that they've looked best, and that once conference play starts. But again, you're just sort of waiting. We're just sort of getting through all of the preseason fodder before we get to the conference play.
If you are looking for a good under the radar game to watch, though, tune in Sunday to this Lowell Central Connecticut game. I think this
That
could be a
is
really
interesting.
good one, actually. And I'm not joking about it.
No, me neither.
These are the types of games that we actually enjoy watching. As opposed to, I don't know exactly, Griggs, whether or not I'm going to be turning into Penn State Chenango at St. Francis. That
I'm
might be
not
a little below
gonna.
my standards.
Yeah,
If
you
we
and
had
I
Zach
won't
here,
want
if we
to.
had Zach here, he'd be tuning into that one,
Yes.
but. Over in the OVC, this conference that you and I were discussing off of the air before we even started, just because of how disappointing this league is, and I think it's a
Yes.
conference that's on its way to Dayton in the first four, whoever wins it. It's just
It's
several teams we
showing.
expected to show up this season, like Little Rock, Moorhead, really have disappointed, and I don't even know who's any good here.
Yeah, Edwardsville is probably the team that's performed the best. At least they have the best paper.
Well,
They
no,
won.
I'll strike that. I think maybe Southern Indiana is performing the best, but they're not even eligible for
Yeah, but
the
they're not even eligible.
postseason. But go ahead. Yeah, Edwardsville, yes, has played fairly well.
Yeah, Little Rock has just not looked. I mean, I thought it was just going to be Little Rock running away from everybody and then, being in the 13, 14 seeded range. But so far, it's just one of those situations to where, it's looking at the 15, 16 line and probably even Dayton. Even of all the conferences we've talked about so far, minus maybe the MEAC and the NEC, but even the NEC, you could point to Central Connecticut and say, well, they've done something that warrants being inside of the first four.
When you look at this conference, Southern Indiana beat Indiana State, who is not the same Indiana State team that was around last year, by the way. Western Illinois, give them a bit of a shout out. They were a bit of a surprise last year that nobody expected much out of them, and they played really well in their first year in the OVC last year. Road win at South Alabama this past week by a point. Wouldn't be shocked if they made a little noise again.
Yeah, I wouldn't either. The Leathernecks, well coached, really hustle.
Edwardsville, the team we just saw, they'll be hosting North Florida here coming up on Friday. That's their only game in the next week.
Yeah, and that might be the only, like, that's actually a really decent under the radar team. We talked about North Florida earlier. That's the only game really at all that's jumping out at me. I said we've got East West. We have an East West sighting. East West at Lindenwood.
Eastwood, West at Lindenwood. We got Eastern Illinois. Didn't they almost beat somebody?
They were with Indiana for a minute, but no.
Maybe. Oh, they took Northwestern to overtime. That's
Oh,
right.
that's
I knew they had a really good game earlier this year. Eastern Illinois, they're going to be at Butler. So if they could play the way they played against Northwestern, they could be in that game also. But I think that was a fluke game there.
I can't believe it.
Over in the Patriot League, Griggs, where this is a conference that has made zero noise non-conference. I mean, Colgate did pick up the win yesterday at UNC Wilmington by double digits, so that at least shows maybe Colgate started to turn things getting ready towards get towards conference play in a few weeks here.
Yeah, and another conference that appears to be Dayton bound. I mean, we love this league. It's so great once they get in the conference play, but
I won't say it's Dayton bound because if it happens, what happens every year, and Colgate runs away with this league and then wins the conference tournament also, that's probably enough to get
if they
a
do the
team like
double,
them.
especially if they run the table, like
Well, let's see. I mean, what they've got less not left non-conference, other than, I mean, they got a road trip to Kentucky, forget that. But they've got Vermont at home, and a very interesting game coming up here in the middle of December.
I own it. We should win that one. So,
Iona, and then conference play. So, Colgate has been the team in this league for years now. So we'll see if I can keep up. They did lose that game on Friday night, though, to Harvard.
which is not a
Which is
good
why
problem.
Colgate. I'm not ready to buy it on Colgate. Winning last night at Wilmington, though, did show me that there was a little bit of life here still. Oh, Griggs, how about this on Sunday? American hosting Notre Dame.
Hosting Notre Dame, good for the Irish for going there. And I guess Notre Dame, oh, maybe it's just their medical school, Indy.
Notre Dame MD, yes. Notre Dame's medical team. It's their trainers and their assistants and their doctor,
Going to
team
America.
doctor.
Very unique type of game we've got there.
Let's move on. What have we got? A little SoCon action here, and we got the real good story here. This Furman team continuing to pick up wins, sitting now at 7-0 after beating Charleston Southern and Seattle so far this week.
And probably the best looking team in the conference so far. I still think that there's a lot of teams in this league with the potential of being good. Buckyball, while they're not what they were a year ago, are still really competitive and have played really well. Chattanooga, after losing their first three, have won their last four. We said that we thought they would go on a run, and they're starting to.
East
So a
Tennessee
couple.
State goes to Charlotte last night and picks up a 20-point win. I'm not writing off this East Tennessee State team at all this season.
And the Citadel and VMI already with D1 wins.
Congratulations. Western Carolina does not have one.
Yeah,
So
don't, you
they're not
know.
the last team with neither one of them is the last team with a D1 win in this league. This week, Furman's games are Griggs, they got an easy one Saturday at Kansas and then a tough road trip to Florida Gulf. Maybe it's the reverse of
No,
that.
I think, man, it's tough to go on the road and win. I think they're going to have trouble winning both of those, but they may be able to get one of them.
And I'll tell you, if Furman somehow does something on Saturday, I don't think we'll be discussing them in the Under the Radar show next week because they'll be in the rankings come Monday. That's they're a bit over their head in that game. No matter how much we like this Furman team, Samford's going to be hosting West Georgia and at South Carolina State, a slightly easier week for
Yeah,
Buckyballers.
they can win both of those. I think they will.
Lipscomb at Chattanooga Tuesday night. Circle that game as well. That should be a really good one. And Greensboro is going to be hosting that High Point team we discussed earlier here on Tuesday as well. So some very interesting games coming up. Over in the Southland Conference, and the definitely going to be a one-bid league Southland Conference, Griggs, is what I'm going to say at this point. I know we love this McNeese State team
We
coming in this
do.
season. Already 3 losses in their 3 toughest tests. They went 0 for 3. They got a Mississippi State game, but just that game alone will not be enough, even if they run the table at this point, I don't think.
Probably not. I don't think they're going to beat Mississippi State. I do think that they might win all the games other than that one. I mean, this is an exceptionally good team in an otherwise exceptionally weak league. But I think that when the committee looks at them, what can you say other than that they beat up on a weak league? North Texas was decent. If you're trying to make a case for them, it's hard to do. They got in the South Dakota State game. Had they just gotten that one and they were to beat Mississippi State as well, I think that that changes the complexion. But at the end of the day, you're looking at 28 wins where 27 of them are probably quad four.
If you want to look at somebody else in this league, I pulled up UTRGV in their first year in the Southland over there on that right. Remember, a couple weeks ago, they took Wisconsin right to the wire. They followed that up with they did pick up a win over Lemoyne, but they don't really have any tests left at all non-conference. Their next biggest test will be their McNeese games coming up in conference play. So.
And again, had they beaten Wisconsin, we'd be talking about them as a team that has a path if they can run the table.
New Orleans also picked up a road win against Tulane in a great game, actually. That Tulane came storm. Tulane were up by like 25 points on Tulane, I think, at one point. Tulane came storming all the way back, forced overtime, and then New Orleans regrouped and got it in overtime and got the game in OT. I don't know. Maybe New Orleans has a little life, or maybe it was just the rivalry game. I'm not that certain
Yeah, I'm
on this
not
team.
either. What?
Upcoming schedule. Well, we've got some big ones, Griggs. Our Lady of the Lake is going to be at Lamar.
Our Lady of the Their tickets still available, if you can believe it.
Wow. McNeese hosted that Santa Clara team. We mentioned that one earlier. Over in the Southwestern Athletic Conference, a big shout out to both Alabama State and Bethune-Cookman, both with 2 D1 wins, which is a lot for this league at this point in the season for anybody to have.
Alabama State is probably the team that's impressed me the most. And it's hard to analyze a league like this. It's probably more so than any of them, where the out-of-conference schedules are predominantly road bye games, 6, 8, or more. And it's the finance, not just their basketball, but much of their athletic department. And what you get is what you get every year. You don't really know who's good at all until you get in the conference play because everybody's just playing on the roads and getting their heads kicked in. But Alabama State, some good showings. They had a really good showing against LSU, I believe, in a losing effort. They've looked better than anyone else I've seen.
Now, I talk about a team that does not look good so far. They are the one of the perennial powers here is Texas Southern. I couldn't believe that I was actually searching for the YouTube stream yesterday afternoon when I was looking for a game to watch because my scoreboard said they were in a 3-point game with Texas A&M Kingsville late. They did win the game by 8 yesterday, but you've got to blow out Texas A&M Kingsville at home when you're Texas Southern,
Yeah, you do.
and that's not a good sign for this team heading into conference play in a few weeks here.
Grambling also with a few good efforts, but still 0-5.
Alabama State this week is going to be at SMU and at Southern Miss. Both somewhat interesting games if this really is the best team in the conference.
I would say so. The game at Southern Miss might be somewhat competitive, maybe a win. Probably not SMU.
Let's keep rolling right along here. And what do we got next? The Summit League,
Believe it is.
and the Summit League, which is the league that was so disappointing last year that we just really were shaking our heads. But I think South Dakota State is redeeming this conference so far this season.
I
Picked
think
up
so too.
they
They
did they
went.
did they, that game against Boise by 1 point, and then they win their other 2 games. Yeah, go ahead.
That was down in the Bahamas. I forget the name of the event, but they had Boise on the ropes. And if they'd have, Boise did sweat a little bit, but I still think they're one of the better teams, if not the best team in the Mountain West. And had South Dakota State gotten that, and you're looking at them at 7-1 and wins against McNeese and Boise, you're starting to think, man, this is a team that's putting together a really good profile.
No one else in the league really performed up to the level that they have, but the Jackrabbits have looked good. I've been impressed.
I'm with you. I'm looking forward to what they do this next week here. Their games coming up are at Montana on Wednesday night's the one that
Yeah,
I'm
that's a
circling
big
here.
one.
That that
Dakota
is,
West was, you know.
and that is, you look at those games on Wednesday. That is the start of the Big Sky Summit League Challenge Series, which is men's and women's teams. I believe there's a total of, I think, 18 games here.
Yeah.
This, I think, the second batch is sometime in early January. And Griggs, we learned this last year that there's points award to each team, whether you win on home game versus a road game, and they add
Yeah.
those all up. And if both leagues end up tied, they go to total points scored for leagues. And if that ends up a tie as well, the tiebreaker to determine the champion is an arm wrestling contest at the Final Four between the two league commissioners. And I'm not making this up. This is the truth.
No,
It's in the
that is
book.
in the contract. And we'll be there to cover it. We will dispatch Tytel, Raga, everybody that we send to the Final Four to cover this arm wrestling
And
match.
last year, it actually was close. It went to the second tiebreaker of the points of the total points scored to get decided. So, who knows this year? Maybe we get to that third tiebreaker layer. But let's go on to the Sun Belt Conference, where Arkansas State sitting here at 4-1 overall. They only played Lois Lane this week, I think it was.
Yes, anywhere it seems like there's more games than you can keep up with. It's the busiest week or two of the year, I guess. Arkansas State, not at all. I almost forgot about them, not because I don't think they're good. I think they're very good, but they haven't played other
But
than
I'll tell you,
Lois Lane.
Lois Lane. I did think that Texas State had a very good week, though, with wins over Princeton and Ohio in their event.
Texas State. And then they've had some good showings in some losing efforts too against some high caliber competition.
That was against a 5-point lit loss at TCU. That was the game I think you're thinking about there. Yep.
And so they're a team to keep an eye on too. But I really like this Arkansas State team.
I'm with you on that. Maybe we'll get them on the court this week. Let's take a quick look. They actually are playing on Friday here in their event. They got Indiana State, Rice, and Hofstra the next 3 days. That Hofstra game on Sunday kind of worth circling, I think.
Yeah, it is. Rice has shown some signs of life. I want to say that they played Florida State pretty tough, but I still think Arkansas should win all three of those. But that Hofstra game is interesting.
As far as, let's say, that Texas State team we mentioned, their games are at Texas Southern and home against Arlington Baptist. That's a
Yeah, and good for them for going to Texas Southern. It's odd that a SWAC team gets to host a non-D or a non-conference D1 opponent. So,
Last of our regular conferences is the Western Athletic Conference, where Grand Canyon technically had a 2-0 week, got the win over Stanford, but
you
still
got the
with
win
two
over
losses on the
Stanford.
season.
Stanford's first loss. Is Grand Canyon going to have enough on that pro? I mean, this is going to be a question we ask every week, I think,
And
unless they go into the tank.
the big question is going to be, how bad is that UC Davis loss going to drag them down all season?
And
Especially
when
when
you
you said,
have,
and you've got to beat Georgia, and you've got to beat Louisiana Tech coming up here still, and St. Louis.
at Louisiana Tech, that would be a really good win for them. I just don't know, like. It is a loss to UC Davis, someone that's, while good, not going to be anywhere near the bubble. Is there going to be enough to offset that when chances are they won't have beaten anyone solidly in the field?
Hey, if they beat Georgia, actually, because we were talking Monday night about that, this Georgia team has really been
Oh, I
impressive
forgot
for
they do
us.
have a game against Georgia. Yeah, Georgia is good, and as is a lot of Tech. So a big week for the Lobes.
That might be the game they've got to pick up to make up for the UC Davis loss there. Don't know if there's much else we could talk about in this league. I don't think anybody else really did much to impress me at all here. Southern Utah wins at San Diego and beats Idaho. I think it's a decent week for them. But upcoming this week, at least, I'll take a look at that Southern Utah team I just mentioned. They're hosting Bakersfield and Park of Arizona.
Well, they had Park Center, isn't it?
And Grand Canyon's hosting that Hawaii team. That game Tuesday night, really a must win for them. That completes all our regular conferences, Griggs. How about take a look at some of our mythical leagues, though?
Okay, yes, this is
Let's Let's start off in the let's see, I'm in the wrong number here. Let's start off in the in the Beehive Conference.
The Beehive.
Where we are battling for the old bucket.
we want the bucket back. We want it back.
Congrats to Utah with a win over Utah Tech Friday night to be in first place in the league heading into ahead here, and but no conference games coming up this week.
No conference games. It'll start to get fired up over.
So if you think BYU Ole Miss, BYU Purdue maybe coming up in the next few days is important, BYU at Providence, they're not important. Those are not the games that matter for BYU.
Right. And the Beehive needs to play itself more, and we need the bucket back.
How about the Front Range Conference? No conference games yet. Colorado and Colorado State, two big rivals, tied for the league lead early here. Although, let's see here. Upcoming games, no upcoming games in conference play either, though. Colorado State's games against Washington and TCU may be not important. Wyoming at Utah State crosses between a pair of mythical conferences, but not quite a mythical conference game.
You might ask, why are these mythical conferences so important? Well, they get mythical bids.
Yes, they do.
To the NCAA tournament. I mean,
the Back Range Conference. This is one of our newer ones that we made up ourselves. Arizona State off to the 1-0 start here. And we've got a huge game coming up today, Griggs. Arizona State and New Mexico.
That is a big one. That's big for this mythical conference. It's big for actual reasons. Both teams performing really well this year. It's late tonight, but it's worth staying up for.
Absolutely. Watch Arizona State, New Mexico. There is a trophy awarded this game, and then a trophy award tomorrow if whoever wins the event as well. So how about that? how about the Top Range Conference way up north there? Wazoo is dominating the league so far.
Yeah, they are. Gonzaga, sometimes when you play in a conference as bitter as one of these mythical conferences, you tend to overlook everybody else. I think that's what happened. It's just the top range rivalries wore Gonzaga down, and that's why they lost to West Virginia yesterday.
Yeah, there's a Gonzaga gets to play Indiana later today, but that is not a top range game, so it doesn't even matter if they win it.
Yeah, it doesn't.
Our latest conference. Oh, this is a good one, Griggs. It's the Conference of Champions. We have teams that are in three conferences, like Colorado here, actually. But that's how big this conference is.
Yeah.
Oregon and Cal out to the lead early in the Conference of Champions. Bill Walton would be proud of us here. Washington at UCLA and Oregon USC this week here, and don't call them Big Ten games; they are Conference of Champion games.
Right. Do we want to announce? I know we were debating when to break this out about the Bill Walton Trophy, or are we going to wait to announce that?
Oh, I didn't know we had a trophy.
the winner of this gets a mythical Bill Walton Trophy along with the mythical bid to the NCAA tournament.
And that mythical trophy is mythical tie-dyed, by the way.
Yes, it is.
the Hoops HD under the radar top 10 list. These are the top 10 teams that you and I voted on. We start with some honorable mentions that did not quite make the top 10, Griggs, including Kennesaw State just missing, along with UC Santa Barbara, Arkansas State, Longwood, McNeese, out of the top 10 for McNeese. I did not think I would see that this year. Of Charleston.
I didn't either.
Coming at number 10, we have the Lopes, also way lower than we thought.
Way down the list, but deservedly so, not just because of how they've played, but how a lot of the teams ahead of them have played.
At number 9, South Dakota State.
Yes.
We talked about the Jackrabbits.
Real good showing in their event. How about Bradley getting up there? We talked about them. Like them in the Missouri Valley.
High Point at number 7. Very good team.
Very good.
And Columbia coming in at number 6.
Yeah, and I don't. That might be a token ranking, but they did win it. They are undefeated, and they did win it. Villanova. They've done a lot.
They're number 12 in the SOR. We discussed that earlier.
Yeah, they are.
Furman at number 5. Real good team here, I think.
Real good team out of the SOCOM.
Number 4, Louisiana Tech at Conference USA. We discussed them at the start of the show.
Yeah, we're starting to get into the fringe bubble teams, possibly.
Drake at number 3. Love this team.
But still really high, still really dangerous.
Liberty, the other USA, three USA teams in on the list here. One of them in honorable mention, then numbers two and four. So that's why this was our feature conference this week. Liberty off that win, was it the Paradise Jam? And number one, it might be no surprise, but we'll drum roll anyhow. The UC Irvine Anteaters, out there at the Western Slim today,
Out there
tomorrow,
at the Western
and
Slam with
Sunday,
Rocco.
Saturday. With Rocco. Rocco is broadcasting the games. He's doing the play-by-play, the color, the sideline reporting. He's coaching both teams, and he's sweeping the
He's
floors.
driving the buses to and from the airport.
He's doing everything. Let's pull us down here, Griggs. Any other final thoughts on today?
Basically, just eat a lot of turkey, wishing everybody a happy Thanksgiving. I know for some people it's great, for others it stinks. If it's great for you, I hope you enjoy it. If it stinks for whatever reason, it's too much stress, or you can't be with people you want to be with, I hope you get through it. And seriously, we'll be following the games on Twitter. Turn on your TV and tweet at us if you need somebody to, if you need something to do or someone to talk to.
Yep,
We'll be right there.
shout out to us at Hoops HD, at David G Puppet, at C Sherwood underscore 1973, or if you want to tweet to some random people as well, feel free to tweet to whoever you want to tweet to. Oh, I'm sorry, X to them or whatever. You can also
X.
follow us on Blue Sky now if you're on there. We do have a Hoops HD Blue Sky
Oh yeah,
account.
forget we're on Blue Sky. I need to. I'm neglecting my Blue Sky. Me and my three followers.
On behalf of David Griggs, I'm Chad Sherwin. Happy Thanksgiving, everybody. Have a safe and happy holiday, and we will talk to you again Monday night with our Hoops HD report.